Father, we agree that your anointing will break the yoke tonight.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we just trust you to just work through our brother to release that which already is stored up in him, because there's an abundant storage. And we thank you for the wealth that's within. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
It's good to be with you again tonight. And I just want to pray over this. Lord, we pray for the 99.
Amen.
That, Lord, many souls would be saved. There'd be rededications. Lord, there'd be an actual change in the spiritual atmosphere of this whole area.
Amen.
Father, we're praying for a sovereign gift of repentance, Lord, that many, many would be swept into the kingdom. And, Father, I pray for the follow-up among the churches and the pastors, Lord, that those that have prayed, Lord, would be rightly united to the Word of God and to a local church. And we thank you and praise you in Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I brought along a little flyer here, which Brother Steve will hand out to you. It's put out by Intercessors of America. There's much prayer going on around the world now, and especially in the U.S. This coming month is very important for us to pray, because we celebrate Father's Day, and there needs to be once again honor towards fathers and towards the fatherhood of God. We are living in a fatherless generation, and those of us who are men, we are needed now to show the love of the Father to those in our society. We've been following along with this Intercessors for America at our church for quite a while now, and the first Friday of every month we have a day set apart for prayer and fasting. The church is open all day. We ask people to pray and fast and to come as they're able. So if you look at this one article here, answering the call to fall on their knees, the 13 colonies put a request out that all the colonies in one day would cease labor and go to the house of God and pray and fast. And so we need to pray for our city, pray for our state, pray for our nation. We're in a very difficult time now. It's a time of transition. Since I was here, my father in the Lord, Brother Wade Taylor, went to be with the Lord on February 29th. He leaped into the eternal kingdom, and he was sitting in the chair talking on the telephone and slumped over. I believe God took him, and then his heart failed.
Yes.
And but we're going to go on with his ministry, Parousia Ministry. I'd urge you to look at his website, wadetaylor.org, morning and evening devotions, and there's articles on there. We're going to have DVDs and other things on there in the days ahead. And in March, I was in Israel. Many wonderful things are happening there. On this trip, we spent all the time with 8 or 9 rabbis. Orthodox rabbis, stayed in their houses, ate with them, talked with them, shared the love of God with them. And I want to just say that I found that Jewish people and Jewish leaders, the way they have relationship with them is not to try to give them the 4 spiritual laws, but give them love.
Amen.
Just make a friend of them. And isn't that really true of everybody? Everybody wants to be loved, wants to have a friendship. So I just want to urge you all to be a love bucket, to pour out your love, increase your love power, and love those who might be different than you are. And this Thursday night in Albany, there's over 100 Jewish different groups coming together in a large synagogue, and it's a night to celebrate Jerusalem. And they're inviting the Gentiles to come.
Wow.
And we, for 4 years, have had a night to stand with Israel where we invite the Jews to come. Now they're inviting the Gentiles to come.
So,
thank you.
So that's just this Thursday night in Albany. And I just pray that you'll pray for the Jewish people in this area, too. And if God has your path crossed there, so you just show them love. And you know, really, if we're going to win people, most of the time, we have to enter their world. We got to become a Jew if we're going to be around Jews. And we got to enter into their culture, their setting, and become a part, so they recognize us as a friend, part of the furniture, you might say. There's three scriptures I'm going to read to you tonight and just share with you about them some. And the first one is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Then Romans 12, 9 through 21. And then 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 9. These scriptures are all very familiar with you. And we're living in a time of transition. End of man's kingdom, beginning of God's kingdom. And Paul writes to the church of Rome 11 chapters explaining his glorious salvation, explaining what God has done for us. And he says, in light of these 11 chapters, I now beg of you that you would present yourself by the mercies of God, that you would present your body, the totality of your being, as a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable. It's the only reasonable service that you can do in response to what God has done for you. Mm-hmm. And I just feel that God's heart is crying out, you know, I love you, I've provided for you, I've given you life to enjoy and a heaven to inherit. I beg of you, I ask of you that you would give yourself totally and fully back to me. And we're living in a time when we've got to learn to trust God more. So this chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 is really talks about transition. I beg of you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And the world, our culture, lives without an eternal perspective. Their understanding is darkened. Their heart is very hard towards God. Really, the world is living in deception. And just recently I've heard some advertisements, you know, you can lose 20 pounds in 20 days. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And go ahead and spend your tax money, because you can come down and all you need is a pen to sign for a new car at our place. And there can be a new you in Gould's Gym in 30 days. Mm-hmm. The world promises so much but offers so little, is that right? But God offers so very much to us. Yes. He says, I'm offering the opportunity for you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might have an eternal perspective, that you might see things from a higher relationship with me, a higher realm of authority and of power, that you can see the panoramic view of what I'm doing. Yes. And so Paul here is asking us to have our thinking transformed. I want to encourage all of us to be in the Word of God more and more and more, that our minds might be renewed by the Word of God. This is an eternal Word, and every question, everything you'll ever face in life has been answered in here one way or another. So I want to urge you to be in the Word of God. Amen. And have your thinking and your actions transformed, that your mind might be renewed, that your body, your soul, your spirit, everything would be totally given to God. Now, we're all Pentecostal people here, and we all love God, but we still find it hard to fully trust God in many times. But we're moving into a period of time where we're going to have to, mm-hmm. because government promises are not going to be fulfilled. Life is changing, and we're going to have to learn to trust God. And don't be conformed to the outward form of this world, but be transformed. Let there be a work done inside of you. Break out of this present world system. And sometimes you have to step aside out of the culture you're in just to look at it and say, my, I didn't realize I was caught up in that so much. For instance, the culture of debt. It's got to be broken in our life. Owe no man anything except love.
Right.
You know, and then the world says you need this to be happy. No. You've got to do this. You've got to have a timeshare. You have to go here. You have to go there. The world would have you on a treadmill. But God would say, no, present yourself a living sacrifice unto me. And you will find how good and how pleasant, how perfect my will is for you. Then, as you go on in this chapter, beginning at verse 9, here it talks about, if you're a believer, you've got to behave like a believer. You've got to behave like a Christian. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. We need to hate lawlessness. We need to hate evil. And Christian, we must not be watching television and movies that present things for entertainment that are against what we really believe in.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, help us to look at that which is wholesome. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Not half-hearted, but fervently giving ourselves to the Lord. Not being lazy in our Christian life, but for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Yes.
Rejoicing in hope. I was coming out of the hospital here 2 or 3 weeks ago, and there's a woman in the elevator, and she had an orange shirt on. I said to her, you know what the international color of orange means? She said, no. I said, it means hope. When the elevator stopped, she said, well, I need hope. I've been here 23 out of 24 days. My friend is right at the point of death. And I said, well, let's pray right now. We can have hope right here in the hospital, right here.
Yes.
And so we need to have hope always, hope in the Lord.
Yes.
And we need to be sharing hope because people are discouraged or downhearted. Be patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer. Prayer is the atomic weapon of the church. We've got to walk in prayer corporately and individually, laying all of our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Well, be given the hospitality, especially to strangers, because you may have some angels in your house, unaware. We were eating in a restaurant tonight, and I noticed two Catholic sisters come in the guard. And when I came out of the restroom, I stopped, gave them my card, gave them a $20 bill, and I said, I want to thank you for giving your life to the Lord, to the church, and maybe this will buy a dessert for you. They were very happy. They wanted to know what my name was. I told them, they're going to pray for me. Praise God. So let's reach out to brethren, even if they have a different persuasion, but if they're serving the Lord. And bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We must not be indifferent. We must take on the plight of those around us. If they're having a good time, let's go to the party and have a good time with them. If they're sad over something, let's enter into that and show that we're concerned. The ministry of presence means so very much. We have to put shoe leather to what we believe. You know, if you can't give yourself fully to God, give your feet to God. They'll get you where you ought to be.
Amen.
And sometimes you have to get where there's need and people hurting so that you can be present there. And be of the same mind one towards another. As Christians, we have to get along, no matter what the name over the church is. We believe in the same Lord, the same Savior. We're going to the same heaven. Let's love one another and get along. Let's not argue over differences that are inconsequential. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Sometimes it's good to look in the mirror and just have a good laugh. Ha, ha, ha! Glory to God! Ha, ha! Yeah, we need to be careful about our opinion of ourselves, you know. And sometimes we think we're a dirty little speck or we're the best guy in the world. We're neither one. All right, have an honest estimate. Lord, who am I in you and who am I in this world? What would you have me to be doing? Have an honest estimate of yourself. And repay no one for evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And in other words, do what is morally right in all situations, whatever. And if it be possible, as much as depends upon you, live peaceably with all men. I met with a pastor last week, he's having trouble. I said, when somebody's going to leave your church, and make at least 3 attempts to go and reconcile, at least. go knock on their door, call them up or something. But Jesus left the 99 to find the one.
That's right.
And you know, so very often we're, when the peace breaks down, we say, well, that's the way it is. No, we got to go and mend the fence, especially now. And you know what? Some people are so full of hurts and wounds. Just some little thing turns them off. And it really doesn't have anything to do with you.
That's right.
They're upset with life. They're upset with God. But if we can reach across that divide, it can make a real difference for them. And, brethren, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place for wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, says God. If you are misused, leave it in God's hands. Be merciful. Leave it there and let God work it out. God can work a plan. Whenever we want to get even with somebody, we mess it up even further. Whatever, whether you're used in a wonderful way or a way that's not, just make an offering to God. God, I lift this situation up to you. I leave it with you. I make it an offering. And you do what you can do in this whole situation. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. So here we see that we're to yield our body, we're to be a living sacrifice, live holy. It's acceptable to God. We're to be dead to sin and alive to God. Say alive to God.
Alive to God.
And mortify the deeds of evil and refuse to be defiled by sin. We're in a sinful world now. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, and children know more now than I knew when I got married. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, we need innocency back. And sometimes it's good for us to be dead to sin. My wife and I have had many, many people live with us over the years. I've worked with a lot of drug addicts. I still don't know how to take cocaine. I don't know how to do with this stuff. And I deliberately now wanted to learn. Then I don't trouble myself. But I've ministered to those who do know how to do those things. It is good to be dumb about sin.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But to be wise about God and about His Word. And keep yourself under control. Keep yourself under the influence of the Holy Spirit at all times. Don't react, but respond. Don't be revengeful, but offer to God and say, God, just give me your grace. And as, you know, Jesus said, forgive them, they know not what they do. If they knew what they were doing, they would not be doing this to me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't really know what they're doing to you when they misuse you. And I know this is a hard thing I'm saying tonight because family can get to us more than anybody else. Is that right? Mates,
Amen.
Children,
Amen.
Grandchildren, oh boy.
Amen.
They can just be tough, tough, tough. Mm-hmm. But if we can respond in love, respond in grace, come up higher on the rung of the ladder. Look at the situation from a higher realm of relationship. Looks a lot different.
Yes.
Hallelujah. A lot different. Get a panoramic view of what God's doing here. Mm-hmm. You know, Lord, have your way. Have your way in my life. Mm-hmm. And let's turn to 2 Timothy. I know these scriptures, you know them. But sometimes it's good for us to be reminded. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that perilous times are coming. How many believe we're in the end times? Well, we shouldn't be upset because it was foretold these things were going to happen. It's going to be a fierce time, a dangerous time, a difficult time. On the way over here, I got a heart-rending call from William Duega. He lives down in Winstead, a friend of mine. Son in the Lord. Got two beautiful children, about 14 and 12. They're both A students, and his daughter is about 14. This week was sitting in class. The class hadn't started, waiting for the class, and another girl came up to her and said, you said this and that about me. She said, I didn't say that about you. I don't even know you. And the girl began to hit her, pull her hair, ripped her clothes, threw her on the floor, and whatever, and she's got a concussion. Got to have antibiotics because dirt got in her eye and all kinds of things. It is a fierce time.
Yes, it is.
If you think about it, her name is Beth. Pray for her. She's a beautiful little 14-year-old girl. Just pray for her. You know, because she was victimized for no reason whatsoever. know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. They'll be harsh, difficult, dangerous, painful, hard to deal with. Hard to deal with. Pastor just talked about somebody in his family was just, their house was just broken, jewelry taken. Hard to deal with. For men will be lovers of themselves. Yeah. And I want to apologize to the women that are here, because so many men are lovers of themselves and they don't love their wife. They don't love their sister or their daughter like they should. And on behalf of men, I'd like to ask for your forgiveness. We need the best investment is our wife. A great investment is our children. 10 points. He just put his arm around her. And boasters and proud, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Disobedience is like in the air. It's like a virus now, isn't it?
Yes.
Disobedience. Wow. Mm-hmm. Whenever I see a little 2 or 3 year old doing an awful tantrum and the parents mm-hmm. are counting or putting them on timeout or whatever,
yeah.
Once in a while I like to go up to them and say, if you can't control them now, what are you going to do when they're 16?
Yeah.
You've got to get a handle on this thing right now, and they have to honor and respect mom and dad, you know. It's the right, and you know why we have so much violence, people misusing children? Because God has put it in parents when a child is disobedient to deal with it. And when a child is not dealt with, the parent, that builds up and builds up and builds up until the...
Yeah.
So when you hear about violence with children from their parents, it's because the parents weren't disciplining them all the way along. And it's so much easier just to train up a child the way they should go. Unthankful, unholy. Boy, we should be so thankful to God. All the vegetation, all the animals, all the beautiful sunsets, the cloud formations, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the different flavor of foods, the friends, the relatives that we have, the blessings in the spirit, the juicy gems in the word. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, 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 you've sure been good to me. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yes. And unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. Now, what manner of believer had we ought to be when people like this are around us? We've got to act different than them. We've got to have love power. We've got to be able to turn the cheek. We've got to be able to have grace. We got to be able to reach out to people who are not behaving the way they ought to and show them a different example. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And so many Christians are caught up in that too. Where can I go? What can I eat? What can I watch? What can I listen to? Where can I go on vacation? Oh, let's love God. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. I appreciate it many times when I've come to this place and you have soaking music on it. Just setting before the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Just loving God. Appreciating Him. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And from such people, turn away. Oh, let's enjoy the power of God. We need the power of God. How many know that? We need the power of God in our life. Hallelujah. And then it goes on in verse 10 and 11. It says, follow a right example. And here is Paul's example. He said to Timothy, you know my doctrine, you know my teachings, you know my manner of life, my purpose, my faith. You know my long suffering, my love, my perseverance, my persecutions, and my afflictions. But out of them all, the Lord has delivered me. Wow, he was a victorious Christian, was he not? 5 times whipped, 39 lashes, spent a day and a night in the deep, perils in the city, perils in the country, perils with his countrymen, robbers, all kinds of things. And yet his matter of life was, I'm going to be living like Christ Jesus would live. I'm going to be an example in this world. Hallelujah. I like, you know, when David Wilkerson was witnessing to Nikki Cruz. Nikki Cruz held a knife to him and said, I'm going to cut you in 1,000 pieces. And David said, if you do 1,000 pieces, we'll be saying I love you.
Amen.
He couldn't get away from that. Nikki Cruz is an evangelist yet today.
Yes.
You see? Lord, have your way. And in verse 14 to the end here, stay in the Word. But you should continue in the things you have learned and be assured of them, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from the childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture, say all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is what? Profitable. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness. Find your strength and your stability in the Word of God. The Word of God has got to be the basis of our faith and our conduct. Hallelujah. That the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Listen, you all, like me, have a passion for Christ. So let us serve Him. You know, it's a risky business being a Christian today. But God is asking us for radical obedience and see what can come out of it.
Yes.
He's asking us to have unshakable trust in Him. And I believe God, if we'll trust Him and live by His Word, there's powerful encounters we're going to have with God. In the night hours, in the morning, during the day, God's going to show Him strong on our behalf. And I believe God wants the mandate that we've all received to increase, to really rise and shine. Hallelujah. To be pronounced. I have a little thing I try to do. Maybe you want to do it. Every situation I'm in, I'm a farmer. I try to sow a seed in it. Every situation. Throw a little money, a little comment, a little word, a little something in every situation. Because there's life and power in the seed.
Amen.
I was looking at our driveway home under church, blacktop, and in four, maybe 15 spots, there's little tiny weeds coming up through the blacktop from a little seed breaking through the blacktop.
Yeah.
There's power in seed. There's life in a seed. Sow a seed wherever you go. Sow a seed of love, of hope, of courage.
Yes.
And I want you to know that each one of you have been sculptured by the Lord for your individual life that you have. Mm-hmm. He's given you certain giftings for the situation that you're living in. You're living in a different one than I am. But God has equipped and sculptured us for the one that we're in.
Amen.
That we can be a shining light. And I want you to know tonight that God delights in you. Say that. God delights in me.
God delights in me.
Yeah. And we're living in prophetical times, brethren. And the choices we make are going to determine our prophetical position in this life and in the life to come. Make your choices based upon the Word of God. Know we're in the last times, but know that you've been called to be shining light. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Be not conformed to this world. But be transformed. You know, now you hear in the news every day, everybody's houses are underwater. They owe more than they're worth. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I want to tell you, for the last 20 years, everybody's car is underwater. Everybody owes more in their car than they could sell it for.
Yeah.
So it's just more of the same. That's all it is. But I want to tell you, we're not underwater with God.
Amen.
We're walking on the water with God. Hallelujah. And we can trust the buoyancy of the river. Hallelujah. Yeah. That God will keep us afloat. So let's be encouraged. And I believe all of you in this congregation here, you have ears to hear the call of God, to hear God's call of love. Hear that, I love you, He says. Hear that, I love that person. I love this one that's giving you a hard time. I love that person. And I want you to be a love vessel. I want you to be yielded. I want you to be my expression in this life and see what God will do. You know what? Everyone in the world's looking for love. The meanest biker guy is looking for love. the meanest person, the terrorist, he really wants love. Mm-hmm. And we should be sharing love with people. Hallelujah. We. And but the times we're in, we're being called to radical obedience. Radical. When there's opportunity, speak to a person. If there isn't much of an opportunity, go up to them and make an opportunity and speak to them. All right? And when things have a bad atmosphere and a bad connotation in the room, change the thing around. Speak a little hope in it. Speak a little love in it. Do something. You can make a difference. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can make a difference because Jesus has made a difference in you. Yes. And I want you to know that obedience unlocks provision and riches from heaven. When you're obedient, it unlocks something in heaven that God can give you riches. He can give you love. He can give you strength to do what He's asked you to do. It unlocks something. One step in His direction triggers a divine counterforce in your direction. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
His calling is His enablement. I told our church Sunday, you know what a real mature person is? A person who will plant trees without any hope of ever being in the shade of them. In other words, we're going to sow seeds that will not benefit them at all. Then you know you're mature. Just blessing people, blessing situations. Jesus went about doing what?
Good.
That's what we should do. Go around doing good. I want to urge you to continue to follow the Lord. Have Yeshua dust on you. And He's going to make something great and something beyond your thinking out of your life. And it don't make if you're old or young. God has a wonderful destiny. He's preserved your destiny for you that you can still walk in that destiny, and you don't know what the final chapters of your life might be. Or you might be even one of them that's going to remain and go right into the kingdom without the way of death.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And as long as I have breath, Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to be an honor to you. And I don't want to be caught up in this culture. I want to live differently than the way others are living. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. Help me. I want to follow the example of Paul. I want to have a manner of life that others can look. Hallelujah. And just see a difference. And the other day I had a guy stop to our farm who was really a tough man. I mean, you don't give anybody compliments at all. He smoked, drank, womanized. He's just a tough guy. But I've been after him for like 25 years. I stop over and visit him. He says, I'm going to have a beer. What are you going to have? I said, well, I'll try something strong. Give me a decaf coffee. So, but he came in the other day. He needed something, and I gave it to him. And then he said, you know, I don't tell many people that you're a good man. And I tell you that because it made my heart feel good because he's
Amen.
Coming now.
Amen.
He's coming to the Lord
Amen.
Because he's seen something different. He's felt
Amen.
Something different.
Amen.
And he needed a bunch of cable for his barn, so I had a big roll of it. And it was worth several hundred dollars. And he said, boy, I could really use it. I said, well, take it along. He said, well, how much do I owe you? And I said, well, you put the price on it, and if you ever get the money, bring me some say. If not, you got it. You know what? I bet he'll bring me back what the thing is worth. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, I've made a friend of him.
Yeah.
I just tell that, not for my glory, just to tell you sometimes the simplest little encounter with a person is an opportunity to make a difference.
Amen.
I once had a hay wagon for sale. I forgot what it was, $1,200 or something. And the guy come and said, I'll give you $400 for it. I said, now, sir, you know this thing is worth $1,200. That's an insult offering me for it. I'll tell you what. If you really need it, don't have the money, you can take it. You can have it. And it's yours free. Well, he said, I can't do that. Well, I said, if you don't have the $1,200, he said, all right, I'll give you the $1,200. He wrote me out a check. But I would have given it to him if he wanted it. But you know what? His conscience got to him.
Yeah.
And he knew when he was offering me $400, it wasn't right.
Yeah.
But I didn't tell Warden, right? I just said, if you need it, you can have it. I want to tell you, in every situation you're in, your boss misuses you or somebody in your family or what, just pause a minute to respond and not react.
Amen.
And God could drop something in your heart that you could respond in such a way that it'll touch somebody, that'll make a real difference. And you know what? That radical obedience to God unlocks provision. It unlocks divine enablement. It unlocks blessing and glory for you.
Amen.
And helps you to be able to minister on a level that you may not be able to minister to out of here. Oh, Lord, have your way.
Thank you.
Have your way. And, you know, we're living in these perilous times, but the darker the night, the brighter the light. If you're in a football stadium with a flashlight during noontime, nobody's going to watch you. You're there at midnight, everybody watch you. And if you can just let this little light of mine shine in this darkness, it's going to make a difference. It really is going to. Father, I thank you for my friends. I thank you for everyone that's here tonight. And Lord, help us to respond, to present ourselves unto you a living sacrifice that's holy and acceptable unto you. Lord, we realize we're in the latter days, perilous times. But, oh God, I know that we can trust you, Lord, that you will use us beyond our ability. Oh God, you will provide for us. And Lord, I pray that every encounter we come to, that you would speak in us and through us. That, Lord, we could speak into every situation, we could speak to every heart in a way that would be honoring. We love you tonight. We appreciate you.
Yes.
Yeah.